We're doing Netivot Shalom on Parshat Kitavo, the greatness of the mitzvah of Bikurim. Begod l'inyan mitzvah Bikurim matzinu besifri. Regarding the greatness of this mitzvah, the Medrash in Sifri says about the verse V'aya Kitavo el ha'aretz, Ase mitzvah zo, the Medrash says, perform this mitzvah, shebischara tikanes la'aretz. As its wages, you will enter the land. The Medrash Rabbah says on the Pasuk, Bereshit bara Elokim, the first Pasuk in Torah. The word Reshit is talking about Bikurim. As we find, Bikurim are the Reshit, the first fruits of the land that you bring Hashem. Says the Medrash, in the merits of this mitzvah, the whole world was created. Wow. And we find that the mitzvah of Bikurim has all kinds of unique aspects that indicate how great it is, how important it is among the mitzvos of the Torah. You see, when you come up to the Temple Mount to bring Bikurim, you make a declaration. You start reviewing Jewish history. An Aramean tried to annihilate my forefather. Hashem tells us, bring your Bikurim to the Temple, and then read the parsha that describes how the Jewish people became a nation. How you became the chosen nation. Doesn't say that about other mitzvos. Doesn't say before you don tefillin, start recounting how you became a chosen nation. Before you eat matzah. What's going on here? In Maestros, we see there's a vidu. You say, I did what I was responsible to do with regards to this mitzvah. I took care, I gave my tithe, I gave my responsibility, I did it in order, I did the proper, I treated it properly. When it comes to Bikurim, suddenly you start talking about the beginning of the existence of the people. Way back when Jacob, Lavan, tried to destroy us. Why? Why are we reading all of this at the temple? Our sages say you're indicating that you have appreciation. You're saying thank you. Why don't I find that by any other mitzvah? And other mitzvahs that pertain to the land of Israel should have the same idea. Before you take off truma, you should say thank you to the Ribbon Shel. So that's question number one. What's unique about Bikurim that you show appreciation for the land of Israel? In Bikurim, you review Jewish history. Secondly, the Maharal asks, why do we say Arami Oved Avi? Why are we so focused on what happened with Lavan? Why don't we discuss what happened with Esav? Esav overtly tried to kill us. He comes with the whole army, and twice he tries to kill us. Why don't we discuss that? Third question, we find that with regard to this mitzvah of Bikurim, it says you will bow before Hashem your God. It doesn't say that about other mitzvot. Furthermore, it says, after you've done Bikurim, you'll be happy with all the good that Hashem has given you. Our sages say, you see from here that you only do Bikurim, when do you read the parsha? If you brought Bikurim from Shavuos till Sukkot. That's the time that you could be happy. You're taking in your profits. You could be happy. After Sukkot, you're busy planting, you're busy with your hopes for next year, you're no longer at that period of happiness. You don't read the parasha. You bring your Bikurim, but you don't read the parasha. What's so unique about Bikurim? This mitzvah has to be done when you're happy. Why? The Mishnah says in Bikurim, you know how they brought Bikurim? All the cities would gather together to a central city. And they'd sleep in the town square. And everyone would get together and go up. And they'd decorate and they'd sing and they'd bring music along the way. It was a whole communal event. Whole cities got together. And when they'd come into a city, the whole city would stand, stop what they're doing and greet them. Our brothers from this and this city, from that and that city, welcome, peace be with you. It was a mitzvah that involved brotherly love. They'd come close to the temple. The ox that was leading the fruit would be adorned. His horns would be covered with gold. What's going on here? You didn't bring Bikurim alone, you went in mass. The whole community went up to bring Bikurim because it's a nicer way to do it. You don't find that by Truma and Maestros. Whenever you're ready, you take off your tithe, you give to the Kohen, you give to the Levite. You don't find any other mitzvah where you get together as a community to perform that mitzvah, bringing it up to the temple. We find that whenever people would bring Bikurim, people would stand up in their honor, the Mishnah says. It says, even in the temple, when people would approach with Bikurim, everyone would stop what they're doing and honor them. The workers in Jerusalem would stop what they're doing. Everyone would stand in silence in honor of the people bringing Bikurim. People brought up paschal offerings. People brought up other sacrifices. You don't find such a behavior. Bikurim gets this unique treatment. So you see that Bikurim is a very special mitzvah. There's something special going on here. What's so unique? Okay, so that's, we had a bunch of questions here all pointing in the same direction. He says, we also have to understand, the Pasuk says, take from the first fruits that you bring from your land. What, the first fruits of the ground that you will bring from your land. Why does the Torah say the first fruits of the ground? Why are those words necessary? It could have just said the first fruits that the land produces. When a person brings his fruit up to the temple, he says, I've brought the first fruits of the ground. Why? Why is he stressing the earth, the ground? So he says, the explanation we can explain is as follows. When one brings Bikurim, that is a fulfillment of the purpose of creation. Our sages say that Hashem said, I created the world, I want to live with mankind down below. So he created a mortal world. Because the armies of heaven, so there are many angels, they don't have a desire to do bad. They serve Hashem, and Hashem says, I want to have a presence down below. I want to have a presence in that physical world, in the world where there's a conflict, where there are two sides to every coin, where nothing can be done without being tempted to be tainted by an improper thought, an improper desire. That's where my name can be sanctified, in that world. The Holy Zohar writes, praise that comes from that world below, that's so distant from Hashem, that Hashem loves more than anything else. So the holy work Ma'ol Vashemesh writes from Rabbi Elimelech Milizhansk that with regards to the mitzvah of Bikurim, it's like our sages said, how do you do Bikurim? Person goes down into his field, he sees a fig that ripened. So last year we had a fig tree in our yard. Until we had a fig tree in our yard, I never knew how fig trees grow. The way a fig tree grows is you look at the fig tree every day, and every day you find new fruits that ripen. Every day. Once I had a neighbor, I have a neighbor, who's a specialist in trees. In Hebrew they call him an agronom, an agronomist in English. So he's a big specialist, and he gave me a few classes on how to check figs for worms. He taught me. And I got tested by him. I learned again and again and again until I felt confident that I know how to check. And then I started eating figs. Now, every day, I'd look at that fig tree to look for new fruit, and my kids would do the same. And every day, it was like finding a new, you know, like treasure hunting. I'm a city boy. So I never had a tree like this growing in our yard where you could just pick fruits and eat them. So it was an exciting thing for me and the kids, finding fruits that were edible and eating them. But a fig tree is different than any other tree. You go down into the yard, last night there was no ripe fig. Today there's a nice juicy fig that's fully ripe for you there. So you really enjoy the tree. An apple tree, they all ripen at about the same time. You got to collect them, hope they don't rot, see how much you can eat, how much you give the neighbor. What can you do? That a fig tree keeps on giving. And it's also useful. I mean, you can do all kinds of things with fig trees. The leaves help women, and the pulp, when it's not ripe, can help get rid of warts. And when it is ripe, it helps a lot in the digestive system. There are a lot of good things with figs. So the Medrash says, a person goes down. He sees a fig that has ripened. He sees a cluster of grapes that have ripened. He sees a pomegranate that's ripened. He takes a string, he takes a cloth, he ties around it and says, this fruit is designated as first fruit, Bikurim. So Rav Elimelech Milizhansk said like this, a person goes down into his field, he's been working all year, he's been sweating all year to produce fruits. And now after all that hard work, he finally sees Something's growing. He sees a fig. That's the most cherished thing a person has, because he's been working for that. And finally it's there. And his first desire is to grab a fig and eat it. That's what I've been working for. The Pasuk says, when you see a fruit ripen before the harvest, before it's in your hand, you've already swallowed it. That's the Pasuk in Isaiah. So when a person has worked so hard all year and he's finally seeing the fruit of his toils, literally, right? He stops and ties a string and says, this is in honor of Hashem. And then he carries it all the way up to Jerusalem. So this is a very precious mitzvah by Hashem. Hashem is receiving from someone something that he worked, he invested his life in. And that's the essence of the mitzvah of Bikurim. That a Jew says, I'm taking what's most precious to me, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm bringing it to you. And that's the idea of the verse, and you will take from the first, V'lakachtam me'reshit. Because in things, the way life works, the first is always the most important. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember when my father got a new car. So there was always the question, who's going to get the first ride? Who's going to be in that car the first time? When's the first time you're going to get a ride in that car? I remember when we moved to the one house, I remember, there was always that question, when am I going to get to be home already? It's new, it's special. That's the way life is. When something's new, so then that makes it the most special right now because it's the new thing. And that's the nature of man. What's new is special to us. And a Jew takes that and says, this is for Hashem, my most cherished, my most beloved, the new fruit, the new year, the new crop. And that's why the Torah teaches us, as a general rule, we take the first, we give it to Hashem. First baby, right? Peter Rechem, the first baby, we have a mitzvah of Bechor. He has special sanctity. The first of your crop, you have to give to the Levite, Truma. The first of your bread, you take off Challah. The first shearing of your sheep, you have Reishis Hagez, you give to the Kohen. Whenever we start something, we start by saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I give you. And the greatest example of this is Bikurim. Because all year he's been working and sweating over this fruit. And when he finally sees that's fruit, what's most precious for him, he's about to enjoy it. The most natural thing is to pick it and eat it. He gives it to Hashem. And that's why our sages say, in the merit of this mitzvah, the whole world was created. Meaning the essence of creation was that we would connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem says, I want a presence down there. That's when people connect to Hashem. And when a person does the mitzvah of Bikurim, he's showing, I want to connect to Hashem. Gentlemen, let's pause for a second, because I want to take this to practical terms in our own lives. Let's start with a mundane example, okay? Bezrat Hashem, you will be married, you will sit down for a Friday night meal, and the food will come out, and there will be delicious food, whether you're the chef in the house or your wife's the chef in the house. And let's take an example of baked potatoes. So most people like those potatoes that are baked crisp. You know, Jack Spratt could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, and so together when they'd eat, they'd lick the something bowl clean. Sometimes it's very nice. What you like, she doesn't like. What she likes, you don't like. Some people like the edge of a cake. Some people like the middle. Some people like the dry part of the challah, the edge of the challah. Some people like the middle. Great. If you're a couple like that, fine. But then you have couples where they both like the edge, or they both like the middle. They both like the dry pieces of potatoes.